This is 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for July 10th. I'm Derek Gilbert, a special broadcast today. You can tell because I've got a jacket on and a guest in studio. He is the author of a number of books, including Is Fanatic Islam a Global Threat? Most recently, Islamic Rivalry. ISIS and Iran are fighting for the heart of Islamic identity. He is a speaker who's in demand at churches and conferences all across the country. And we're glad that we are able to catch him for a few minutes on his whirlwind whirlwind tour of the United States. Avi Lipkin. Avi, welcome back.
Good to be back.
The Bible Bloc Party, your political party that you've been working on, how long did it take for you to get approval, official recognition by the Israeli government?
Well, there are two stages. Firstly, you have to get the signatures. You have to get like over 100 signatures. And I got 108 signatures. The problem was that for every person who did sign, 10 people said no. People who I thought were liberal and open-minded. And it took me 10 years to get 100 signatures. And by the time we submitted it, the government had changed all the forms. So it was invalid. And the lawyer charged me another $20,000. And the submission of the forms was $15,000. So the total bill was $55,000. The second time was done within 1 year or 9 months. And this was recognized on May 15th. On Israel's 70th birthday, Israel's 70th anniversary, the Bible Bloc Party was founded. So a lot of Christians are saying, that has a meaning.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So for Americans like me, who barely know our own form of government, how is the Israeli government set up? How many political parties are there, and how is power shared? How many in the Knesset and so forth?
Yes, well, the Knesset, here in America, you have House of Representatives, which is 400 or 500 people, and Senate is 100. We have one house, it's called the Knesset, and it's 120 deputies. And you need 145,000 votes for the first four. This is the threshold. Mm-hmm. If you come with 144,000 votes, you don't get in at all. And the reason they did this was because we have 35 parties. And a lot of them, one of them is the cannabis party, and one of them is the taxi driver's party, and one of them is the divorced men's party. And they have all these different parties. And we even have a party which actually did get in with 8 members of Knesset. It was the Retired People's Party. Huh. And they ran once, they lost, they ran twice, they lost. The third time they got in with 8. And so people are asking me, how are you going to get in with your Christians? And I said, well, you know, we have 100,000 Arabic-speaking Christians, 400,000 Russian-Ukrainian speaking Christians, so that's 500,000. Mm-hmm. So if I get a third of them, I'm in.
And this is in a country of how many people?
Total Jewish Christian population of 6.5 million. And then we have 1.5 million Muslims, and they have their own parties. And they all united to overcome this problem with the threshold law. Mm-hmm. But the point is that this is the first time in Israel's political history that there is a Judeo-Christian alliance. Hmm. We're actually coming together. And as I've told you before, I believe that the 6 million Jews in America and the 4 million Christians married to those Jews, in other words, 10 million nuclear Judeo-Christian families are threatened gravely by an Islamic agenda that wants to kill them on the Day of Judgment, which is coming soon. Mm-hmm. And so I believe we're going to be seeing millions of Jews and Christians fleeing from the United States to Israel. And on that day or at that time, my political party will become the biggest party in the Knesset.
Hmm. So what issues have you developed a platform for the party? What issues are you going to be running on?
Yes, we have 8 principles. The first principle, of course, is that our party represents all those people who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and protects them from persecution or expulsion. And you have to remember, the Christians who live in Israel are under threat of death from their Muslim next-door neighbors. And so what I'm saying is 100,000 Arab Christians, they're my Christians. I'm going to defend them. Until now, the Israeli government defends them, but, you know, tries to keep everything quiet because they don't want a civil war with 1.5 million Muslims who are Israeli citizens, too. And my Christian friends in Nazareth said to me, you know, that their Muslim neighbors came up to them and said, you see what we're doing to you guys in Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq? We're going to do it here, too. So there has to be an increased awareness by the Jewish leadership in Israel that the Christians are our brothers and sisters, and we must defend them. And what should I say tomorrow when 10 million Jews and Christians moved from the West to Israel. So I believe that the Judeo-Christian population in Israel will grow to be a majority population when all is said and done. And this could happen within a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It's a process. Listen, it took me 20 years to form this party. Mm-hmm. 13 with lawyers and a lot of money, and I had to work hard to raise the money for the lawyers. And now we got to start campaigning. Mm.
The next election in Israel?
Officially, November 2019. But there are rumors that through a no-confidence vote or through a decision by Netanyahu with all the parties just to bring up the elections maybe to April. So we don't know yet when elections will be. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm saying is, and I never knew why, God had me to study Russian at Hebrew University, and God had me to study Arabic at Hebrew University. And actually, those are the two languages that I need the most for the constituency that is most likely to vote for my party. And of course, Hebrew, English, Spanish, and Greek. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you get so many people who started other places. I mean, you were born and raised in New York.
Correct.
You've got a lot of Russian Jews who have moved and emigrated to Israel.
Right.
But you've also got Yemeni. Just recently, didn't I read that the tribe of Manasseh, they believe, from India.
Right.
And some of them are now relocating. But they're coming together with some very different experiences and views of the world, because while you are united in faith, the upbringing of a Russian Jew is going to be very different from the upbringing of a Yemeni Jew or an American Jew or whatever. How do you, where do you find common ground?
Well, the basis of our ideology is Judeo-Christian Western civilization and democracy and women's rights. So this is something which I don't want to say is lacking now, but we have like 35 parties. None of them have in their ideology faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in the Bible, and fellowship, mm-hmm. and fraternity between Jews and Christians.
One of the things that startled Sharon and me, just to shift gears a little bit, talking about the importance of religion in Israel, we were in the Jewish quarter, and we saw the Golden Menorah. In fact, we recorded a little segment that people will see on a DVD that we're working on right now about our trip in May. And Sharon and I just assumed, based on our experience as Americans, that you would never put something really, really valuable out in a public place like that. It's in a glass case. It's protected. But we assumed that that was a model. This is the Golden Menorah. And come to find out that it is, in fact, like 99 pounds of 24-karat gold that was hammered into the menorah that the Temple Institute has put together for the Third Temple. And it's sitting out there in public. I mean, that thing is worth $2 million just for the metal, not much, you know. That, to me, says something about what the people in Jerusalem, the people in Israel, are looking for. Now, as Christians, we have you get 12 different prophecy scholars together, you get 15 different opinions on what prophecy tells us is going to happen.
You got that from the Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
Two rabbis, three opinions.
Right. So how important is this belief that will be fulfilled, that there will be a third temple there soon, and what's happening inside the government? Is it the government facilitating it, encouraging it, what?
Well, we Jewish people pray three times a day for three things. We pray for Messiah, we pray for the temple, and we pray for the Jews to come home. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be cynical, you know, but I don't think we would know what to do if the Messiah really did show up. I don't know what we would do if the temple were to be really rebuilt, because a lot of rabbis oppose the rebuilding of the temple for many, you know, legalistic reasons. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the Jews picking up and leaving America to go to live in Israel. That will only happen, I believe, when there's a giant spatula called Islam that's going to give the Jews and Christians no choice but to flee. Mm-hmm. And the United States is going to be so preoccupied with 9/11 attacks that law enforcement won't be able to protect every individual Jew. And Jews are being slaughtered every day now all over the world by Islamic terrorists. But the media doesn't talk about it. The internet talks about it, but mm-hmm. the media doesn't. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're certainly living in interesting times, which was that famous curse. Was it the Chinese curse?
Chinese curse, yeah.
May you live in interesting times. We are certainly doing that. We are looking forward to coming back to Israel.
Amen.
We had a wonderful time there. Of course, Lipkin Tours, your son's company, handled the tour for us, and it was amazing. In fact, Aaron's presentation at Bethel was wonderful.
Yeah.
And just eye-opening. But to me, I thought Shiloh was even more powerful. Just very quickly, and I want to plug this, but just because I'm an archaeology nerd and I love this kind of stuff, Aaron's got a new DVD called The Divine Choice about the altar of Joshua. Where was it found, and why are they? Why does he think that this is, in fact, the altar of Joshua?
Okay, again, you know, one of the problems when you read the Bible is, are these fables? Is this make-believe, or did it really happen? And what my son is doing, he's using science and archaeology, which is a form of science, to prove the veracity of the Bible. Now, if you prove that the altar of Joshua really existed, then Joshua existed. If Joshua existed,
then Moses.
Moses existed.
Right.
And what happened was, during the work of Adam Zartal, rest in peace, they found like a little mound, a big mound, like a little mountain, of very big rocks. But it wasn't a natural thing. It wasn't a natural outcropping. And so they started moving the rocks, and underneath it they found, according exactly to the dimensions of the temple altar in Jerusalem, they found exactly an altar, and it was covered by rocks. Why? So that the pagans would not take the altar and defile it.
Mm.
And we see many instances of altars being covered up with rocks, and also baptism pools, you know, the mikvahs, covered up with stones and earth so that the non-Jews would not defile them. So there's a lot of archaeology behind this. I've been there a few times. And I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I'm partial. But I watch my son, I start crying. I'm so proud of he talks. He's, you know, I'm very abrasive when I preach. My son is such a sweetie. And he's so nice. And, you know, like, you can't say no to my son. So, but these teachings are just fantastic. And they need to be in every church of every denomination, because they prove that the Bible is true. Word of God is true.
Mm. And we'll put a link in the, you can see this on the lower third here, where you can find a copy of the DVD. This is the fourth in a series of Aaron Lipkin's. It's at lipkintours.com, and you'll also find information there about our 2019 tour of Israel. We'll talk more about that in the longer interview you'll see with Avi on the Skywatch TV channels on Roku, Apple TV, YouTube, beginning next week. So, yeah, and we're looking forward. If we can make this happen, we're praying about this, because I realize that Mount Ebal is very close to Nablus, but you know, God willing, we'll get a chance to see that in some of the other sites as well. Well, blessings on you and on your political party, and we pray that, well, for the peace of Jerusalem. Of
Amen.
Course.
Listen, if God wants this party, it will be.
Yeah.
And if God does not want the party, I don't want it either. But I think God wants this, and my life has been dedicated 20 years to this party, and now it's a reality. Now the next year and a half will be dedicated to campaigning and getting people to vote. And if I may honestly, you know, and modestly say, I think we're going to get in with 8 members of Knesset,
well,
out of 120.
Pray that we see that, hopefully next year by the time we talk again, things will be a lot.
If the elections are in April and you're coming in May, you never know. Maybe a part of the tour will be coming to visit me in the Knesset.
Yeah, and we'll hand out flyers while we're going to various sites. You can find out more at Avi's website. It's avilipkin.net. Avilipkin.net. Avi, safe travels.
Blessings.
Yeah. And we thank you for watching as we keep watch. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you know by now that we are hosting another True Legends Conference this September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Today we're excited to announce that live streaming for this event is now available on gen6.com. Last year's True Legends Conference was an incredibly powerful event. All of our speakers delivered compelling presentations on a range of topics dealing with the Genesis 6 narrative. Many of the people who joined us in Branson or live streamed online said this was the best conference they've ever experienced. We received testimonies from people all over the world whose lives were profoundly touched by this event.
This year, Gen 6 Productions, Skywatch TV, and InfoWars are joining forces against the technocratic elite and their Luciferian agenda. Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, David Knight, Hugo de Garis, and myself, among other dynamic speakers, will be addressing the rise of transhumanism and the hybrid age. We are living in a pivotal moment in history. The imminent convergence of emergent technologies in the fields of genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and cybernetics is about to revolutionize every facet of human society and fundamentally redefine what it means to be human. The stakes could not be higher. It is imperative that we comprehend the prophetic implications of what is about to happen to the human race on planet Earth.
True Legends, a conference 2018, will be taking place from the 14th through the 16th of September at the Mansion Theater in Branson, Missouri. Seating is limited and the venue is almost sold out, but you can watch the conference live online from the comfort of your own home by purchasing a live streaming ticket on gen6.com.
Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of this extraordinary event. Go to gen6.com today and join the resistance. Purchase your live streaming ticket today and watch every session from last year's conference for free on gen6.com.